to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We've been talking about walking away from sin because it hurts our lives. It hurts other people. It doesn't take us towards our destiny. It causes the glory that God wants to shine through our lives. It certainly diminishes that. So there's 101 reasons for us to do that. And we see some of those here in this text. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Tell your neighbor, get in the race. So there's a big deal that God has for your life. Paul said, I'm going to finish my race with joy. And that must be all the determination of all of us. But sin can trip us up. It can slow us down. And for some, it can stop that race. Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So, last couple of weeks we've understood that sin at its very nature is deception. What looks good is not good. All right? And that is one of the devil's devices, his strategies. He is a tempter, he is a liar. And so he lies about God, he lies about what God says, and tries to convince us to pick the bad and to avoid the good and God's ways. All right. We saw last week that we have to agree with God. What God says is sin is sin. All right. And it is not always what we think or what the world and culture thinks. I got a lot of testimonies. It wasn't even supposed to be the main part of last week's sermon, but I had a whole bunch of people that said, you know, Pastor, I found this week and I didn't take it. I found it just lying there. Somebody found a phone. Somebody found a flash drive. Somebody else said, unfortunately, that on Sunday afternoon, somebody found their stuff and hadn't come to Miracle Life. So they did take it. All right. But again, what we think is okay, or what we decide is okay, or what our body says is okay. No. It's what God says is right and helpful and beneficial for our life. And we agree with what God says is wrong and is hurtful. And part of us is just submitting our life to God's standards. All right. Not what's right in our eyes, but what is right in God's eyes. And so we see that from him. Now, what we want to talk about today is winning over temptation. Because if you can be smart and powerful and use the strategies that God gives in his word about temptation, then you will not get to the place of sin. You won't have to go through all the junk and the stuff that goes with it, because no sin just kind of grabs you. You, in order to sin, you have to walk through the doorway called temptation. And if you never walk through that doorway, you don't sin. So we've got to get really good at winning, overcoming, being smart in the midst of temptation. Now, one of the things that we have to realize is that while we are on this earth, we will be tempted. We will be tempted. Was Jesus tempted? He was tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. So avoiding temptation completely is going to be impossible. Now, you can also be smart and you can avoid a lot of temptation. And we're going to look at that. All right. So let's look at a few parts of this component. Look at one verse with me. 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to look at two texts and then we're going to kind of break them down a bit. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So that means be smart, right? Be aware. And so if you're doing fine now, you're standing, hey, be aware, because there could be a fall. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. All right. So in this text, it says that when temptation comes, and God never sends it, but when temptation comes, there is a way of escape. So there is a doorway out. Okay. And so what it means is that we have to be looking for the door out of temptation, not looking for a justification for the temptation. Look for the door, not for the justification. Because there's a door. And if I know where the door is, I can get through it. But far too many Christians are too busy looking for the justification. Well, David had concubines. That's not the door. That's deception. Right? They did it to me. That's not the door. That's deception. Look for the door. Now, the other verse I want you to see is back what we are in our text that we earlier read, Hebrews 12:2, and just this phrase, we keep our eyes on Jesus. So how do we lay aside this sin? So it says here, by keeping your eyes on Jesus. So there are some things that we're going to see about temptation by looking to him. All right. And there are some things that we're going to understand about where the escape door is. All right. So let's look at Jesus, who is our example. Jesus was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. You are a man or a woman anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus overcame sin, he never did it with his super Jesus power. Right? One of the reasons we like to watch superhero movies is because we think, man, it'd be great to fly. It'd be great to have a hammer that boom, you know, or like the Incredible Hulk when that guy's lipping off at him at the end of the movie and he just boom, 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 you know. And we wish we could have those powers. Well, when Jesus, everything that he did as when he was a human being, he did as an example for us. He didn't pull out, you know, the Jesus power. Otherwise we could say, well, I can't do that unless I'm Jesus. No, Philippians says he laid aside those divine privileges and he operated as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at 10 ways today, 10 strategies to win over temptation. I would highly encourage you to take notes. All right. Your family would highly encourage you to take notes. Your destiny would highly encourage you to take notes. All right. And so I want you to, you don't have to take a whole bunch, but at least these 10 things. All right. And I'll list them. And then when we're done, we'll come back to those 10. All right. So number one, know the word of God. Know the word of God. Okay. So some of these strategies are directly what we learned from Jesus. And let's look at the place where he overcame temptation. Among others, Matthew chapter 4. So he's been baptized, anointed with the Holy Spirit. God has a big plan for him. And then God led him into the wilderness. Matthew 4:4. And so Satan has come to deceive him, to tempt him. Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up on the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up. And so now the devil is misquoting scripture. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. What was Jesus' response to every temptation? Three words. It is written. Now, here's the thing. You've got to know God's word about the temptation before the temptation. I am so glad that in the middle of the temptation, Jesus didn't get out a concordance. There's something. They told me something in Sunday school about worship. You're just a bad devil. Hold on, let me find somebody with lots of power that can sort you out. No. When the temptation came, where was the word of God? It was in his heart. It doesn't say that Jesus pulled out a scroll and read it to him. Huh? What does Psalm say? He said, I'm going to hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So hiding the word of God, knowing the word of God. And so friends, you have got to know the word of God about whatever temptation you are facing. And everything that will face us, God has instruction. God has an opinion. Ignorant Christians are defeated Christians. I just don't know the word of God that well. That is easily fixable. Why do you think we have school for life? It is certainly not for just for the fun of it. It takes money. It's expensive. It is for you. It is to equip you for life. Why do we have a bookshop? It's not to make money. It's to equip you. Amen. I'm kind of having some problems in my marriage. Well, we've got 24 books right now on marriage, and one of them will change your life. Well, I got one. It wasn't really good. Well, buy another one. Buy another one. Amen. Know the word of God. It was already settled in his heart. If you are weak in the word, you will be weak against temptation. And the other thing is the second temptation. Satan, when he realized, okay, Jesus is quoting scripture. All right, I'll start quoting some scripture. Except he tweaked it, just like he did with Eve. Did God really say? And he kind of knew a little bit about it, but he mixed it with some deception. All right? Again, some people go to the word to try to justify their sin rather than to overcome their sin. Well, Jesus was a wine bibber. You know, hey, I'm not drunk after six drinks. Well, doctors would say different. Huh? Oh, no, I hold my liquor. No, you're used to being drunk. We know. Everyone else knows. Okay? Again, David had concubines. It's not the plan of God in the New Testament. When we're looking for spiritually mature people, we're looking for someone called the husband of one wife. All the men, raise up your hand. All the men. All the men. Say this with me. I am a one-woman man. Amen. One woman. All right. Number two, so what's number one? Know the word, like Jesus did. Number two, know that there is a higher life for you. Or just write, higher life. Number two, Jesus knew there was a higher life. All right, so Satan offers him the kingdoms of this world and their glory. Oh, that is the decision that a lot of people make, isn't it? They go for the glory. They go for the stuff. They go for the ego. All right? And it drives them, and it drives them to make bad decisions. All right? And there's a certain part of it. Oh, it would be so awesome. You know, when you watch those people on the red carpet, you know, you think, oh, aren't they nice? The other thought you have is, I wish that was me. Huh? Oh, man. All the glory. What did Jesus say? He said, no, I was created for something higher than that. I was created to worship God. I know what I'm shooting for. And every temptation that the devil offers is below what I'm gunning for in Jesus. I'm too busy doing the will of God, too busy aiming for his purposes to be distracted by this. When Nehemiah was building the wall with his team, and people said, hey, let's go over here and we're going to go to the Valley of Ono. And he said, no. He said, why should I leave this wall? We are doing a good thing. Amen. No, I've got a destiny. I'm raising up a family. I've got plans for of how to glorify God with my money and my body and my life. I'm busy right now at 25 years old. I'm writing my obituary right now. I'm writing the life history that's going to be said at my funeral that doesn't have to be edited. And that people don't have to leave out all those other parts. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what I'm planning for right now. And so Jesus, he knew the word, but he also knew his destiny. Number three, and this is a big one. Speak God's word out loud. Speak God's word out loud. Jesus said, he didn't battle the devil in his mind. Because let's be honest, many, many of the temptations that we face, there is a physical aspect to it, right? There are sometimes physical cravings, physical urges, and then there is the emotional side. But once you start kind of getting into the emotions of it, it also now becomes physical. There are chemicals that are released. There are things that make you happy or scared or apprehensive. And so Jesus didn't make this a philosophical deal. He spoke the word that was in his heart. All right, he had hidden it in there, but he spoke it out loud. It is written. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the only offensive part of the armor of God in Ephesians 6. All the other parts of our armor are to deflect and to stop the fiery darts of the enemy, all those things, right? But the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that is our offensive weapon against him. All right? So speak the word of God. Say things out loud. I've said this before, but it bears repeating it. And this is just, it helps me very much. I love my wife. I love her so much. We've been married 24 years. She does me good and not evil. But my body, physical body, does not know who I am married to. It doesn't. Well, what's wrong with your body? It's just like your body. Okay? My mind does, my heart does, but my body does not. Okay? And my body is, it's flesh, all right? It's not redeemed. All right. And it's going along for this Holy Ghost ride, this purpose of God ride. All right. And there are times where, I mean, I love my wife, but I might be walking down the shopping center. I might be watching a movie with her. And there's a woman other than her that kind of walks by. And man, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about lust. I'm not talking about anything perverse, but it's just something inside of you that goes, right? Men are, okay, right. Here's what I do, and I say this out loud. I don't, if it's a physical person, I don't say it to him, but I say it out loud. That one is not mine. She is not mine. Well, I'm saying that for the benefit of my body. Because my body is saying, she's not yours. She doesn't belong to you. Amen. And single guys, you say that about everybody. Yeah. You just say that about everybody. All right. Say it out loud. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Amen. You're tempted about, you know, pinching this or whatever. No. Let him that stole. Yeah, I used to do that. I steal no more in Jesus' name. I steal no more in Jesus' name. You will have a hard time taking money if you say that out loud 5 times. Oh, well, you know, that's getting a little radical. Well, do you want to carry on in sin? Do you want to win over temptation? Do you want to use the strategy of Jesus? Or do you want to keep getting beat up all the time? And your whole life is like a roundabout. You know, you got in the roundabout over here at Arcades, and 5 years later, you're still in the roundabout. Just going around. And that's what sin will do to your life. All right, it'll just put you on a cycle. All right, number four, have a friend. Have a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. No, not that one. I'm talking about someone down here on planet Earth. A person with flesh and blood. You gotta have a friend to overcome temptation. All right? James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another. Not the pastor, not the priest. One another. Now, I don't mind if you come and talk to the pastor. No problem. This is talking about one another. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Don't, and it obviously doesn't say gossip one another, right? Don't spread it out one another. Don't post on Facebook, some people, ... you know. Pray for one another. Why? That you may be healed. Much sin comes from a place of brokenness, where our life has been broken by sin, all right? Where there perhaps was something that jolted our life. There was perhaps sexual abuse, violence, words that hurt and injured, and something got broken in our soul. And that sin comes out of that brokenness. Are you following me? Many, many times. Not always, but many, many times. And so how do you get healed? You talk to somebody. Pray for me. What happens? Healing. And what was broken, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And that which was broken gets strong, and that temptation goes down, or sometimes is just, it becomes so small and so weak when that brokenness is overcome. All right? So our life was influenced by the fall in some way. So we expose it to the light. We expose it to the grace that is in other people. All right? Now, for many, many Christians, and I used to be really foolish about this, is, so, you know, the last couple of weeks, all right, sin is deception. Yep, okay, it's a lie. Yep, I know that. All right. Sin is agreeing with God. You know, it's overcoming. I'm going to agree with God. All right. So, God, I realize this is not your plan for my life. I know this isn't best. So, God, me and you, we're going to do this. And really, I'm going to do this by myself. Now, why do we do that? Well, it's the first part of James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another. Is that fun? Right? Shout to the Lord. Oh, I love to do that. Confess your sins to one another. Not so much. It's one of those Bible verses that it's not my favorite one, right? Confess your sins to one another. So we try to overcome temptation like this guy from the 1980s. Look at the screens. This is how we try to overcome temptation. Rambo. One man against the entire Vietnamese army. One man with a knife and a machine gun. He will bring back his buddies. He will conquer all. Huh? He's so cool that, you know, some of us for the last 20 years, we go buy beans at the market and there he is on the cover of the bag, right? It's Rambo. Yeah, he's been there forever. Rambo. Yeah. And it kind of, right? And you kind of, we kind of have this independent streak in us, right? I did it my way. I don't need the help of anybody. But when you try to overcome temptation using the Rambo technique, you don't come back victorious. You come beat up. All right. It is not God's strategy. But I am so glad that the Bible tells us that confess your faults to one another. All right. Get people with you. And Rambo figured it out 20 years later. And Rambo doesn't fight on his own anymore. This is how Rambo fights now. There he's going. Yeah. You want to mess with me? You're going to have to go through Chuck Norris. Schwarzenegger. All these guys, man. It's much, much more better to fight temptation this way. Now, completely off the subject, all the women, close your ears. This is just for the guys. I highly endorse Expendables 2, the movie, guys. All right. It is almost anointed. All right. Anyway, you can cut that from when we send it to the radio station. All right. Face your temptation with other people. Because one of the things we find out is many, many people have faced the same thing. All right. And that's number five. Number five, something to be aware of, is I am not alone. I'm not alone. Okay, an awareness that other people are facing this. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 10, right? No temptation, verse 13, has overtaken you except that which is common. Say, it's common. It's regular. Say, it's not unusual. Oh, but Pastor, my temptation, it's like, I can't even, it seems so weird. It's not. The Bible says it is common to man. Why do you think it's uncommon? Because you haven't been talking to people about it. The devil has lied to you. You are so weird. Out of 7 billion people on planet Earth, you are the only one that is so weird to have that thought. It's common. Common to man. All right? And so there are other people that have overcome that. All right. So it's common to man. So what I want to do is I want to link up with other people who perhaps have faced this or are facing this. When it's a secular organization, but it has a lot of Christian principles in it, and it was actually founded by Christians, Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't do deliverance. They don't bind a generational curse. You get into a group of people that are facing the same thing as you are, and you stand up and you say, "Hi, I'm Walker. I'm an alcoholic. Confess your..." I admit it. "Hi, Walker." And then you talk about it, you talk about it, you talk about it, and you never leave that community. And people overcome all the time. Why? Because they're using Bible strategies to overcome temptation. And here in the church, we use goofy, non-biblical strategies. "Come up and I'll break it." I can't. I really wish I could. And I wish you could break it for me. But it's not there. Snippet, soul tie. What's a soul tie? What a ridiculous thing. There's no such thing as a soul tie. It's not in the Bible. We got to break the soul tie from your girlfriend from 50 years ago because she's holding on to you. Now, you put a memory there by sleeping with her. Amen. But you can rewrite your memories. Amen. All right. So get with other people. Get with other people. All right. So you're getting with these other people, right? And it's not... It's not unusual. They're going to be helping me out. All right. Number six. Don't feed it. Don't feed your temptation. If we would go to some of your houses, you might have a dog or a cat or a pet or something like that. And if you love it, You feed it, don't you? You want to keep it alive. But how many of you, and I know they've been diminishing in the last few years, but, you know, stray dogs. And you see stray dogs and they're skinny. Why? No one's feeding them. Because they're a nuisance. They don't belong to anyone. And that's the way your temptations need to look. Like a stray dog with ribs hanging out. Barely hanging on. Okay? Why? Because you're not feeding the temptation. Okay? So you're aware that there's this area in your life where there has been temptation. All right. So maybe you have a temptation to be angry, to be bitter, to be vengeful, to stir up those emotions on the inside of you. All right. So how do you feed that? Well, somebody sent you an email or a text or they, you know, there's something. And so what do? You read it 100 times a day. And every time you read, what are you doing? You're just putting petrol on it. Every temptation, you're bringing petrol and water. You got 2 buckets. Which one are you going to use? I'm asking you to use the water. Put out the fire rather than adding to the fire. All right. You've had a problem with substance abuse. You have where you've had an addiction. You've drunk too much. And so you go to parties where there's drinking. Oh, I don't know what happened. Well, I know what happened. You're feeding that. You're feeding it. Those are still all of your friends are your drinking friends. There's no friendship without the drinking. Get new friends. Oh, but they won't like me. Exactly. Exactly. They won't like you. They won't invite you. You'll find new friends and there's a new path. No, Pastor. I want to keep my drinking friends and not drink. No, you're feeding it. You're being foolish. Right? You're not trying to win over temptation. Okay? That type of unforgiveness, you think about it, you talk about it. It's the word for resentment. It comes from a Latin word to means to pick open a scab. Every boy knows what that is. In fact, you know, I got a lot of scabs on my knees playing sports. And when it scabbed up, that was actually when it was fun. Because you were like, you get to pick it and makes it blood again. You know, your mom tells you not to, but you do it anyway. But here's the thing. Whenever you pick it, it hurts again, doesn't it? It's to make it hurt again. So it happened, but you just keep rehearsing it. And what happens? You're feeding that bitterness. You're feeding that unforgiveness. Stop feeding it. Don't go there. Don't watch the movie. Don't be with that person. Stay away from that place. All right. And number 7, this is a great, great strategy. And all of these are kind of linked in a way to each other. All right. Avoid places and situations of temptations. Avoid situations and places of temptations. Well, Pastor, I just need you to pray for me. You know, there's this woman and she every time I'm around her, I get in trouble. Don't see the woman. Well, she's my PA. Well, move her to another department. Transfer her to Joburg or something, you know? Huh? Look at this in Proverbs chapter 5. And see, here's where you can really outsmart temptation. You can be smarter than it is. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. There, perfect picture of sin, right? Looks good, but it's not. It's destructive. 6, lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. All right, so here's the big deal. Here's the hear me now. Verse 8, remove your way far from her. Far. Huge distances. Big distances. Far from her. And do not go near the door of her house. And really, this could be any temptation, right? It looks good. It's trouble. It's going to kill me. It's going to destroy my testimony. It's going to impede my race. Don't go near. Don't go on the path. Remove your way. Do not go near her house. If you don't get on the bus that says Kitwe, you'll never get to Kitwe. Get off the bus. Oh, I'm just going to take it up to Kabwe. And then you fall asleep and then you're in Kitwe. All right, so Proverbs, wisdom, right, says far away. Don't go on her path. Don't even go near the door of her house. Look two chapters later. And here's the guy that didn't listen to Proverbs 5. Proverbs 7:6. So here's wisdom watching this. For at the window of my house, I look through the lattice. Now, where's the wise person? They're not in the street near your house. They're watching this. They're at a distance. Verse 7. And I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near. Whoa. You're supposed to be far. Oh, no, I'm near. I'm near. That's the trouble. And he took the path to her house. To her house. And so he's walking along. All of a sudden, here she comes calling out. Oh, yada, bada, 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 bada. Here it comes, right? And he went in. And the arrow struck his liver. Death blow. Finished. Relegated. Third division. Finished. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that woman should have done that to me. No, you should not have gone on the path. God gave you the wisdom. And two chapters later, no, I'm just walking the wrong path. So how did you get back drinking? Well, you know, I was just with some guys at the pub. You went near. I'm telling you, some of you, you need to get rid of your smartphone. Go back to the Nokia 500 series. Oh, no, that's a little too radical. Your testimony isn't too radical. Isn't it funny that 15 years ago, we were really happy with texts? You know, where you had to hit each button, you know. We all, you know, nobody died back then. All right. Don't go near. Everybody say, don't go near. Stay far away. This is a big one. All right. So if you're overcoming drunkenness, don't go in a bar. Replace your buddies with non-drinking buddies. Number eight, pray. Pray. So there's stuff we can be smart about. There's stuff we bring it in. Chuck Norris on our team. Here we pray. We look to God. Luke 22:45. At last he stood up and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. So the disciples are supposed to be with Jesus, praying. They fell asleep multiple times. And Jesus said this, verse 46. Why are you sleeping? And he asked them, get up and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation. God, help me. God, I am praying. I'm looking to you. Right in the middle of the temptation, right as the aroma is in your nostrils, the gun is out. It's ready to go, right? Right there. Pray. Pray. Get God in on the scene. Pray. Look to him. Ask for help. Cry out to the Lord in the day of trouble. Amen. Number nine. Remember why you're saying yes and no. Remember why you're saying yes or no. guy that he and his wife helped raise us in ministry, Ed and Lori Elliott. We lived in South Africa for 10 years. We were with them for 7. And I was at the office one day, and Ed came into my office and normally did. And he said, man, you're not going to believe this. Well, he was an evangelist, so he was always having you can't believe this kind of stories. But so he said, oh, you're Pastor. He said, Walker, you're not going to. He didn't call me pastor. Anyway, he said, Walker, you're not going to believe this. He said, I went to this Bible school last night, and it was a 3-hour deal, you know, from, say, might be 19 to 22 or something like that. So he said, I was preaching and everything. It was awesome and everything. And I was going out to my little 4x4. And he said, this young lady followed me. She followed me to my car. And she's asking all these questions. And they became more and more sexually explicit as she began to talk. And I'm walking faster. And I realized this is a trap. It is late at night. I'm in the parking lot. Nobody is around. And here you are, you're a preacher at a Bible school, and this is a Bible school student. All right, so you're not going near the, you know, I'm in Bible school. I didn't go near her house. I didn't go looking for trouble, but trouble found you. All right. And she was talking, and anyway, he said, you just need to go. He got in the car, and he pulled out, and then he just stopped, and he said, my hands were shaking. All right. And his heart was just racing. All right. You know, if you've ever almost hit something, right? Or you did that adrenaline. And he said, in that moment, I realized why I did what I did. And I rejected that. He had two boys that are adults now. Wonderful wife. And he said, I closed my eyes and I looked at me telling my two young boys, watching them cry, why mommy is leaving. Because I slept with a 21-year-old girl. And I watched, in my mind, I watched them cry. I watched my wife leave. Because I know that is what's going to happen if I do this. And I watched that and I allowed those emotions to pour over me. That there's something bigger than what could happen in the next 30 minutes. And he didn't do it. And now he's got a testimony for it. Because he realized there's something bigger. I know why I'm saying no. And I know why I'm saying you better have a vision for your life. If you're not going anywhere, you will wander and do whatever. Have a vision for your life. Have a vision for your family. Since I was a kid, I had a vision for my family. Oh, well, Pastor, I'm just so blessed by your marriage. I'm just so blessed by your kids. Oh, it's just, how did the Lord bless you? Yes, he's blessed me. But I saw that 30 years ago. And I've been living every day of my life for that outcome. And I've said no to a heck of a lot of stuff to achieve that. Why? Because I know where I'm going. And some 21-year-old punk girl at a Bible school is not going to keep me from where I'm going in Jesus' name. Yeah, you got to know where you're going. Know where you're going. And you're not going to be able to reach your vision saying yes to temptation. Why do athletes stop eating nice food and cakes and sugars? Why do they get up and train? Why do they lift weights? Why do they do all of that? Because they want to hold the cup. They want to see the confetti flying down. They want that, so they do this. And isn't it funny? Paul says people live that way for a crown that is perishing, that fades away. Who won the premiership 22 years ago? Who cares? Nobody remembers that. At the time, it was a big deal. It's not a big deal now. But we're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about big things of God. Look at it, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. This is what drove some of the great men and women of God of old. Hebrews 11, 24. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Let's just imagine that in central and southern Africa. You are the president's kid. You're the child of the president. And how many of you know there are privileges that go with that? And in some places, massive privileges. Okay? So Moses had all of that, but he realized that's not my destiny. That's not what is for me. There's something bigger. There's something that God has called me. There's something bigger than me just living in a palace. Okay? Verse 25. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He chose something higher than pleasure. Pleasure that doesn't last. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead. He was looking ahead. Some people don't even look ahead to tonight. Some people don't even look ahead to next week. I've run out of money. How did that happen? These school fees, they were an attack from the devil. No, you need to look ahead. I don't know what happened. They just gave me this Zesco bill. Well, look ahead. But look farther than a week. Look farther than a month. Look ahead to your funeral. Look ahead to the generations that will follow you. Amen. As a preacher, there's a long list of guys that didn't make it. And then there's a short list of people like Billy Graham that did. I'm looking ahead. I want to be on his list. I'm looking ahead. Half of you will be dead when I make that list. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to make that list. I'm looking ahead. So saying no to some of this other stuff, I've got a vision. But guess what? I can't give you a vision. You've got to have a vision. And it's got to be a vision that comes from the Word of God. If your vision includes a Lamborghini, get a bigger vision. Huh? Well, I want to have a pretty wife. Get a bigger vision. I want my family to respect me. Get a bigger vision. Have something to do with God. Have to do with His purposes. Ooh, and I tell you, temptation, it's ridiculous. It's small. It's little. Number 10, and the last one. Believe God's word deeply. Deeply. Look at Luke chapter 8. And this was one of the problems with one of the four soils that did not receive the word of God to fruitfulness. All right, one did, three didn't. And this was one of the problems. Luke 8:13. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. Woohoo! Amen! Hallelujah! These are people who go to church because they received it with joy. These are people who are not sleeping in church. These are people who say amen in church. These are people who post stuff on Facebook after church. They received it with joy. There's a whole lot of people that don't receive it with joy. I don't know about that. This could be you, right? You receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. How did they give in to temptation? They don't believe it deeply. They don't believe it deeply. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. So we dated for 5 years, which was too long. And I don't recommend that. So we made it to the altar as virgins. But it was like the taxi that made it to the petrol station. Alright? Right? So, we made it. Alright. Praise the Lord, we made it. Okay. And we were talking about this the other day, and we said, you know, how did we still make it? And I said, you know, for me, the only thing that kept me at the end was, this is wrong. I had a deep-seated belief that this is sinful. It is sinful. Everything else said it's not sinful. This is your wife. You're going to marry her. You're planning your honeymoon. Right? And so everything is going that way. I believed very deeply, and I believe it today, God's word is true. It is wrong to have sex before marriage. It's wrong, and I believe it not on the surface. I believe it deeply. I believe deeply you don't steal money for any reason at any time, no matter how much you need it, no matter how much they have it and they won't miss it. It is wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong every time. Huh? And if my kids did it, and I don't remember if they did it, but I'll beat their butts if they do it. Because it is wrong, and I will drive that foolishness out of them. Because it's foolishness. Amen. So 10 things. You got 10 things? All right, now here's what I want you to do. All right. So the Bible says, lay aside the sin that so easily besets you. What is that sin? We're going to talk about it, but that's the one you like. That's the one you have a tendency to do. And if we've got 1,200 people today, there might be 1,200 different ones. All right. But it could have been in your past. It could have been something that you know, you've thought it's okay, but you realize, hey, man, I don't want this to be a part of my life. All right. Now, what I want you to do is go back to this list, and I want you to circle two things. I want you to circle two things. Of what you feel like, as we were talking about this, as we were looking at the Word of God, you realize, man, I have not been employing that strategy. Man, I got to open my mouth. I've been trying to battle this in my brain, and I'm losing on that battlefield. But you'll win on the battlefield of the spoken word. All right? And I've been trying to do it alone. I need to get Chuck Norris. Circle that one, and then do it. All right? Man, I've been getting too close, too near, and I know it. And I have got to get far. I've got to put some distance purposefully between me and that temptation. And I got to rearrange some furniture. I got to move to another place of the city. I got to get a new job. Yeah. Put some distance. So circle at least, maybe there's more, but circle at least two of those, all right? All right, now put your hand on them right now. Put your hand on that list, and let's ask God. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you that there is victory in Jesus. Father, I thank you that we can win over temptation because you created us as winners. You created us as more than conquerors. But Father, some of us, and Lord, I've certainly been in that boat, Father, some of us have just been foolish. Father, some of us have been ignorant of your strategies. Father, some of us have not been aware. We've not been implementing that in our life, Father. And we've been trying to overcome temptation with strategies that don't even come from your word. And Lord, we've been ignoring those that do come from your word. And so, Father, right now, I thank you all across this auditorium. Father, I thank you for grace. Grace. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. That, Father, as we go from this place, He empowers us to live the Word of God. Father, thank you right now in Jesus' name. He leads us into all truth. He strengthens us. He helps us. He is the one whom we look to. And Father, thank you, Lord, that we will, with your help, the help of the body of Christ, the help of your Word, Father, we will be like Jesus. The temptation will come and we will walk away without the smell of smoke. We will walk away victorious. We will walk away blessed by you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, we bless you. Just lift up your hands right now. Just receive that grace. Oh, just receive that grace. There's grace for you. Paul spoke of some people in the Bible and he said, you know, these were fornicators and sodomites and idolaters. And he said, some of us once were. It means we're not. We used to be. It's in our past. We're moving on in Jesus' name. We're stepping into our destiny. Oh, we're walking on that wonderful wide path of His righteousness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your empowerment, for your help in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, here's something else I want you to do. Tell somebody about your list. Tell them what you circled. All right? And ask them, hey, ask me in a week or two if I've put some distance. Oh, no, this is just between me and the Lord. No more Rambo. No more Rambo. Just tell somebody, hey, this is going to help me. This is going to help me. On your way out, find five strangers and say, what's on your list?
Who are you?
No, pastor told me, hey, stop it right now. We're going to go to the tuck shop. I want to see your list. All right? And if they don't have a list, then lead them to the Lord. Amen. All right. God loves us. He's so good, isn't He? Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You that Your word works. It works in Lusaka. It works in 2015. It works in our lives. Father, it doesn't matter where we came from or where we're going, Father. Your word works because it is forever settled in heaven. It is full of power and it is alive. Father, right now we pray for anyone who's here today, Father. They're not yet following You. Father, they're in a dark place. Lord, they're distant from You. Father, we pray right now. You're reaching them. You're touching them. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I'm not even in a place where I'm trying to overcome temptation. I'm not following Jesus. See, he's not number one in my life, but boy, I want Him to be. Man, when I see His word and I understand what He can do for me and the vision that He has for my life, I want to be in His family. Well, friend, you can. He died for you. He took your place because He loves you so much. He didn't want to have eternity without you. And so He made it possible. But it's only through His blood. It's not through a church. It's not through a creed. It's not through right living. It's only by accepting His work. And so today you can do that. You can receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. Maybe your life and it's just messed up. And you haven't been living for God. But man, you realize today I'm coming home. And you'll find a Father who will receive you because He loves you. And you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be in His family. I need to come back to Him. Wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Lift it up real, real high. Thank you. Over here. Over there. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Who else? Right there. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Fantastic. What a great decision that you're making. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. I'd ask you, just as a courtesy, as respect, because this is a big deal, what's about to happen. And let's just support these folks right now. You lifted up your hand. Grab your Bible, your handbag, whatever you brought with you to church. Just come and meet me up front. I want to shake your hand. We're going to pray together. And God is going to do exactly what He said. He's going to bring you into His family. Let's give Him a big, big hand as they're coming from over here, over there. Awesome. Awesome. Now, you know, you might be thinking, I didn't raise my hand, but boy, I should have. This is my day. This is my time to meet Jesus Christ. Just come. Just come in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you so much. Thanks for coming. Thank you so much. What a great, great decision that you're making. All right. Now, if I wanted to give you this as a gift, how would you get it? Right? You would reach out. Yeah. And so what God has for you, it's a gift. His love is, but you can't pay for it. But we must receive that gift. And so I'd ask you just to lift up one of your hands as a sign of faith, because faith receives from God. And say these words with me. Say, God, I believe that You love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He was punished for my sin. You raised Him from the dead so that I could know You. Be my Lord. Be my Master. I live for You. Thank You, Jesus. I am in Your family. I belong to you. In your name I pray. Amen.